And this is what happened over there. Where is your heart, and what kind of soil is your heart right now? There's four kinds of soil in this parable, right? You guys know the parable. Jesus goes and he says a sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed on different kinds of soil. And there were different results based on where that seed fell. Now, what was the seed? Seed is the word of God. So the dependent factor is not the seed. The seed is perfect. The seed will grow if it's in the right conditions. The dependent factor is what's receiving it and what's around it. Right? It's the condition of the thing that it falls on, or the heart that it enters. And there's four kinds of soil. Jesus said, you know, there's the path that people walk on. And by the way, these are our hearts. These are hearts. Let me ask you, how many of you have been that person that's been walked all over? And your heart's just been trampled by the feet of men. Time and again. They just walk all over you. And you see, it's true that Satan will easily come and take that seed from the top, from the surface of that soil. But something else can happen. The Lord says in Jeremiah, break up the fallow ground and let the rain of righteousness come and water the earth. And so the question is, will you yield to the work of God and let that pickaxe enter deep and rip up some ground? I've done it in Mexico. I don't know if you saw one of the part of their backyard there, but it used to be useless. It had 20 trees that were dead. So one of our trips out there, I took an extra 5 days and stayed behind the team, and I took an axe and I nailed every one of those trees and I ripped them out of the ground with a few of their guys. And then they had to tell me to go take a break. They were worried I was going to fall over. But I grew up like a lumberjack in the South. So anyway, I was used to the axe. But we broke up some fallow ground, and it's not easy work. But if you let the axe enter, the ground will break. The ground will break. If you stop the axe from entering, it won't break. You know, simple as that. The water won't even soften it because it's so hard. There's no place for the water to enter. But once there's a hole, once there's a crack, the water can go down there. You give it some time, and that's good ground. They're growing some beautiful plants on that backyard in that house in Mexico. And so, are you that person? Do you need to let God come and break up the fallow ground? Maybe there's still some left. Maybe he's broken up a bunch already, but there's still some left that you've been reserving, you know, because it hurts too much when the water comes there, when the pickaxe hits that part. He's picking away at the things in your life. Or maybe you're the second soil, which has ability to grow, and the word of God comes and it falls on this shallow kind of soil, the rocky soil, which is able to cause things to grow because it's warm soil. And the seed, no matter how deep it goes, because it's not very deep, it'll grow quickly. But what happens? The seed, the word of God, the effect of the word of God dies out quickly because of persecution. And this is what you see in many churches. We witness this in some of the churches we visited. In an area where persecution is heavy, people say, you know, let's not do things quite so according to the word of God as we end up what it is. They might not say that. I don't know anyone that would ever say, let's not do things according to the word of God, unless they're just not Christians. Right? But then they let it go because, oh, you know what? That persecution comes on hard. That's the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews, writing to the Jewish people, the Jewish Christians. Sometimes you see this today with the Jewish Christians because it's so hard to be a Christian among the Jews. The easier thing is just to be more like the Jews. That's exactly what the book of Hebrews was written to and for. And they're still doing it today. Same problem today. It's easier to not have persecution and look more like a Jew than like a Christian and get the persecution. But you know what? There's a lot of big, hard stuff in that soil that needs to come out. They're called rocks. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit come, He's the contractor. He'll come. He's got a big shovel. He's got a big pickaxe. And He can get those rocks out. I'll tell you what, that was my job in El Salvador one time. We were building a church foundation, and there was a 3x4 rock. Foot. 3x4 foot rock. Just in the middle of the way where the foundation had to go. And one of the youth pastors came up to me and a couple of my buddies that were soccer players. You know, he gave us each a sledgehammer. That's got to come out. It's a good thing my dad already put me through that training after the hurricanes in South Carolina. You know, one summer this big, massive double maple tree fell over, and we didn't have chainsaws, so he gave me a wedge and a sledgehammer. I was 13 years old. And guess what? I learned how to swing a sledgehammer that summer. He paid me $100 too. I was like, wait, what was I getting per hour? You know, was swinging an 8-pound sledgehammer. Anyway. But it'll come out. It will come out. But there has to be a yielding. There's a permission here. Will you let Him come? There's these areas, these pockets of hardness that stop the Word of God from sinking deep in the soil. We're not talking about soil that has just little rocks. We're talking about big rocks that stop the soil from being helpful. You see? Will you give permission to the Holy Spirit to come and remove those? It's your land. You can do with it what you want. You can choose to hire the contractor or not. Count the cost and pay the cost. Because I tell you, the reward on the other side can't be matched. But for some people, the cost is too high because the earth is too pleasant for them. It's too much of a treasure for them. You see? For some, the earth is too much of a treasure. And so taking out the rocks is not because they just want things to stay the way they are. Taking out the hard places in your heart that no one can break into. But you got to let Him come. Come with a backhoe and just lift that sucker out of there. Then there's another one. It's actually a fairly receptive heart. If you think about it, it's got lots of stuff growing. It's just all the wrong stuff. The thorny ground, right? And the seed falls on that one and it grows well. Grows well, just like everything else. And some of your hearts maybe are like that one too. You just believe everything. You believe that religion and this religion and whatever, you know, they throw yoga in your face and hey, that works too, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't work that way. These things are what? They're the cares of this life. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. The distractions of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. They come in, and no matter whether it's a religion or a sales scheme or a new business plan or a family lifestyle, the desires for the earth, the treasures of earth come and they choke the word until it's dead. And the word has no more effect. And it's no more useful. The land, the heart, is no longer useful for the kingdom of God. And in the end, according to Hebrews chapter 6, it's simply to be gathered up and burned. And that's it. Or, you see, I don't think there's a single heart out there that starts like number 4. Because there's number 4, the good soil. And we say, oh, I want to be the good soil. But guess what? No one starts that way. No one starts as good soil. We're either unbelieving, or we've got, you know, we're interested in other things, or we've got so much hardness in our life. Everyone is one of those three. And you've got to let God come and rip that stuff out of there. He's a good landscaper. He's a good husbandman. Isn't that what he's called? And he tends to the field. He tends to the work well. And he'll do it right. But it's your land. He's given you permission to do with it what you want. You just got to hire him to come and do it. You got to count the cost. You're going to have to lose the things of the world. You're going to have to accept persecution. You're going to have to not worry when people walk over you. You're just going to let God come and soften that soil every time he wants. It's not so big a deal. It used to bother you a lot, and so your heart got hard when people walked on top of you. You say, you know what? I came from dirt, and to dust I'm going to return. You can walk on me if you want. Because this is not, I am not the soil that you see. I'm not comprised of the flesh that you see. I'm comprised of software, not hardware. I'm a person internal and apart from my body. And because of that, I will live and be forever with the Lord when this body dies. You can walk on me if you want to. I don't know if you guys heard my Easter message, but you know what I believe that Jesus did at the cross is that he did not struggle. I believe he was a witness to the soldiers. And that's one of the reasons the centurion stepped back and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Because you can imagine the average man would come up to that cross and he'd be walking with his cross beam or maybe the whole thing. Who knows? We don't really know. But he was walking up there. And one way or another, he knew that the time was getting shorter from the time when he started and to the moment when it all came down to the real event. And normally when the guy starts getting there, there's soldiers starting to grab his elbow and say, and give him a tight squeeze, because this guy's going to start, you know, trying to get out of this thing. He realizes this is for real now. He'd rather get a sword run through him than get put up on that cross, you see. So they start fighting, and man, to get that arm down, they've got to pull it down. Now with Jesus, he said, I give my life, right? No man takes my life from me. So there he was. He had carried, well, the other man had carried the cross by that point, right? The cross made the big thump on the ground. And he walked over to it. He got on his knees, rolled over, and he put one arm down. And he waited as the soldiers stood there in astonishment and said, what in the world is going on here? Everybody fights. So reluctantly, maybe even, they got to do their job or they're going to get killed. So they walk over and put the first nail through. Maybe even without a scream. It was painful though, so I can't guarantee that. But, and then he stretches out his other arm to make sure it's in the right spot for them, to help him. You see, he gave his life. No man took his life. And they walked right over him. And they put him up on the cross. And he hung and he died. Freely. Willingly. And yet we come and we say, you're not going to walk on top of me. You're not going to put my arm on the cross. But he said, if you don't take up your cross daily and deny yourself and follow me, you might not be a Christian. Is that what he said? What did he say? Yeah. Cannot. It's an impossibility. So one choice or the other. You either hire the Holy Spirit to come and do the work or don't hire him. Once you hire him, he's going to do the work. Don't tell the contractor what to do after he's hired to do the work. You know? All the contractor's going to say amen. Sorry. But this is where we're at. We willingly give our life and we yield to the Holy Spirit and say, come and have your way, O God. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thy will be done, not my will. It's the defining character of the Bible. Sin is defined in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All sin, all evil. This is what I told my class just the other day. I said, do you know why this world has evil? I can tell you in one sentence. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to our own way. That's the reason for all evil. Because we've all gone our own way. And our way is better than your way. And if you want to fight about it, we can. We can use guns too. You see? All the wars, all of it, is because it's going to be my way or the highway. But what does Jesus come and say? Not my way. See, he didn't go through the garden and the prayers through the garden because he was weak. He went through the garden to show us what we really need. What our flesh needs is the cross. Not to stand up, not to fight, not to harden, tense up every time, but just to relax and realize the Father will raise you from the dead. The Father will raise you if you trust Him. But guess what you have to do? You've got to die. You've got to die. You've just got to let it happen. And Jesus died faster than all the others because He just let Himself die. And He knew when it was time. He dismissed His spirit. He said, all right, it's done. He's a little more confident than we are. This is it. All right. Father, I commit my spirit into your hand. Here we go. Let's do this. Put the body in the ground. Let's get up 3 days later. He went down into hell and fought a bunch of guys down there, but that was another story. You see, what happens to people that die with sin? They go to hell. What did Jesus do? He took all the sin of all the world. Where do you think He went? Somewhere other than hell? He had to follow His own rules. Right? He went down into hell. He broke the chains of sin. He broke all the darkness. He preached the gospel and He got up. And that's the proof that death could not hold Him down, though it tried. You see? And death cannot hold you down. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Just yield to the Holy Spirit and say, Father, thy will be done. And then the money and all that stuff, it's just stuff. Don't let it choke the word. The people in Ethiopia didn't let the word get choked. It fell on good ground, and their church was revived. And they've got strength to stand and to trust. So may we be as well. Father, come and have your way, I pray this morning. In every heart and in every life. In every family that is represented by the men here. May we say, and if they are courageous enough to stand against the whims of this world, to say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Come and have your way, O God. Thy will be done. O Father, do your will now in your people. Raise up your men, O God. Raise them up to be the men that don't fear this world and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. I will not fall under the ways of this world and be intimidated by their allures. I will stand in the name of Jesus Christ, and I will rise up and be called a man of God. not because of my flesh or some decision I've made, but because God has the power to raise the dead. And when I was dead in sin, he came and breathed his spirit into me and gave me life. Oh God, come and do that now. Fill your men and raise them up to be bold and to be lights in this world, that the word of God might increase in Orange County. The word of God might increase in the good soil and spread as the seed dies and bears fruit 100-fold. Oh God, come and have your way. Thy will, O Father. In Jesus' name, fill your men with your spirit. Amen. Go give them heaven. That's right.